perspective. Now, we're not really doing a part two to that, but I want to take us to the discussion about God's authority. If we have a godly perspective, as we established last week, and we learned that from the book of Job and through his lessons in life, and so from that, we extracted this idea that God is sovereign and on his throne. And if he is sovereign on his throne, then we must be willing to trust him no matter what we may see in the immediate place in front of us or even down the road on the horizon. Part of that discussion has to include what we're going to talk about today, and that's God's authority. If he is sovereign and we're going to seek to have a godly perspective, then really the bedrock for that is that he has authority. Now, authority is one of those deep theological discussions. In fact, Wednesday night, we started down this road and I looked back on it and we got into some really deep stuff. And I want to try to keep it simple this morning and just our understanding. But if God has authority, and by the way, I don't know that many of us as believers or even as non-believers struggle with the idea of God's authority. It's one of the central themes in Scripture. God has authority. Why is that? Because he created us. He created this world. He is what makes this world work. Now, albeit it's a fallen, sinful world, but God still created it. You and I messed it up. So we understand the authority part. And I think, for the most part, most of us agree with the authority issue when it comes to the big stuff. God has the authority to move storms and to resurrect people. God has authority to solve and heal people who are sick and have issues medically. We get all of that. I think where we struggle with is God's authority on display in the innermost parts of our lives, the small stuff. Now, this is one of the things that we talked about Wednesday. And I think for me, this is just me being transparent. I'm like most. I get the authority part. But one of the things that I've learned through life is if someone has authority for something, then you also need to give them responsibility. Hold on to that. You can flip that around. If I'm going to hold someone responsible for something, then at the same time, I need to allow them to have the authority of that. I think that's where our problem is a lot of times. We understand God's authority, but we're not willing to give him the responsibility of all of the things that we face in those small things in life. Let's pray and we're going to jump into this passage together. I'll give you a little background on what's happening. It's a very common passage. We've talked about it before and we'll sort of dive into this from a different angle this morning though. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the power of your word this morning. And as we broach on some what would be considered kind of deep theological issues, I don't want us to get lost in that. There is something very simple in this message today, that you are God, you are sovereign, and you are the authority over this world. We're going to hear that in our passage this morning, but that authority has to extend into our lives, not just the big things, but the small things. And I think the question for me, and I hope everyone else is, am I giving you the authority and the responsibility? Am I laying it down before you to take authority and responsibility for any and all things that I'm facing in my life? The uncertainties, the hurts, the pains, the lack of forgiving someone, the difficulty in loving that one person that just seems to get at us. The uncertainty of the horizon, where am I going next week or the week after that, and the decisions that I have to make. God, the list is enormously long of things that probably we could all testify that we're struggling with right now. And so I pray through the work of your Holy Spirit, through your word this morning, that you would open our eyes and begin to understand the steps we have to take to give you both the authority and the responsibility for everything that we face in our life, not just the big things, but the small things as well. Now, Father, I pray for anyone who may be lost, who's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may be sitting in this auditorium. They may be watching this on our live stream or listening to this sometime this week on our podcast. I pray, Father, that what they hear this morning is that you have all authority over their life, whether they accept it or not, whether they understand it or not, or whether they agree with you or not. That you have all authority. And you've created them for this moment, for them to finally come to terms and to accept that authority. And that happens through what Christ did on the cross, forgiving us of our sins and giving us a renewed life with a relationship with you. I pray for that lost person this morning that that is all that they can think about in these next few minutes. And then at the end of our service, as we get to that point and offering them up that prayer of salvation, that they would be ready and willing to make that decision this morning. Now, God, as we always do, pray that you would bless us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds. Help us to put aside whatever may be distracting us today and to focus on you and why you've brought us in this room today. It's to learn about you. God, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 16, this is a really well-used passage. I've preached out of it many times, Bible studies out of it. Probably every one of us in here, if you've been to church three times, you've probably heard at least one message or Bible study out of Matthew 28. These are the last recorded words of Jesus on this earth physically. And this is the moment that the disciples are gathered on that mountaintop. Just envision that with me. And as they are gathering, he is about to ascend miraculously, physically, into the sky. I think he lifts up, just like it tells us, and he goes to be with God at the right hand of the Father forever and ever and ever. And he's still present. His work is still at work here. But this is that moment that he gives us those final words. And if you were to put yourself in the final words you would utter to those that you love, what would you choose to say? Well, it's here that we find what Jesus records in what he is charging those gathered to do. We sometimes refer to this as the Great Commission. It is. It's the marching orders for you and I as believers. It's the charge for the church. I think it sort of summarizes the purpose of what we have here on this earth as believers, what we're expected to do. And so in this, as we've read it before, I'm sure, we've walked through this in many different angles. But it's the all-authority statement that Jesus makes pretty quickly at the beginning of this that we sometimes don't pause and think about that. And that's what I want us to do. We're going to start reading in verse 16. We'll go all the way down to verse 20. And then if you're taking notes, we're going to come back and we're going to look at three ways that we can learn to submit to God's authority, but also allowing him to have responsibility. Let's go through this starting in verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Then verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now remember, he has already died and rose from the dead, right? He's been resurrected some 3 days later. This is some weeks down the road, we think. We know that he's appeared not just to the 11 remaining disciples, but to probably maybe 100 or more believers. They have seen the risen Jesus. So the dispute is not whether or not this is Jesus. And that begins to be known by the fact that the moment that they saw him, they worshiped him. Now, why would they worship him? Because he's God. He had said he was. He had made those declarations. And now the fact that he has risen from the dead, they visibly saw him die on the cross, but yet here he has been walking before them. I mean, the remarkability of that is astounding in and of itself. So if there was any doubt in any of their minds, the worthiness of Jesus to be worshipped, and his declaration that they now agree with, that he is part of God, the second part of the Trinity, all of that has now been washed away, and without doubt, they know that they know now. Now I'm just going to pause here for a moment, because that's a mighty place to be, and an important place to be as a believer. And that does tie into this a little bit. I think when we're struggling, with the right perspective, as we said last week, and understanding God's authority and giving him full responsibility to carry out his plan in our life, however he sees fit to do that, we have to also understand and agree that he is who he claimed to be. And that as we declare his authority, then we are erasing all other backup plans. It's probably easier to say it this way, and you've heard this before. He either is who he claimed to be, or he's not. He can't just be a good teacher, or a good person, or a person who came and lived a life some 2,000 years ago, and then innocently died on the cross. He didn't just do that. He came declaring that he was God in flesh. So he either is that or he's not. And if he's not, then we're going to struggle with the authority and the responsibility because we're not buying into it all. By this point, as you know, some of the disciples, I think, and the outer circle of Jesus, those are the remainder of those that probably have been following Jesus and watching him from a distance for some time, now without a doubt, no. And I know in my own walk, it was a moment that I will remember the rest of my life when up until that point, I kind of doubted some of these things. Am I saved? Is he really who he claimed to be? And there was a moment in my walk where God and I had this long, very in-depth conversation. It wasn't a two-way conversation. He wasn't speaking to me audibly, but he was laying the message into my heart so strongly that I made the decision and the choice. And for me, and I don't know what it takes for you, but for me, looking in the world and all of what God has done in his creation, it was impossible for me to think that that was done without a God doing it. And so for me, that was the decision. Well, I'm just going to believe. I'm going to believe. And the evidence to me is all of what I see in the world, the trees and the grass, the things God has done, the blessings that he's brought, the fact that he speaks to me. And that was an important moment, I think, for these living during this time. Now, not all of them may have struggled with it, but we know some of them did. I mean, Thomas is one of those that struggled with this, but at this point, they knew that they knew that they knew. And I pray that you do that. If not, until you get that settled, you're going to struggle with our topic today, the authority and the responsibility issue. Well, he goes on. And he moves on, and it tells us, but some were doubtful, and I think that's extending to some of those in that outer circle. We just kind of covered that. Verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's the underlining statement today. That's the one we're going to kind of camp on, park on, and focus on. So we'll come back to that one. But he tells us this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, who gave him that authority? God the Father has extended that to God the Son. And so we understand that authority now. Now, as we sort of break this apart, we'll come back and look at what that means to you and I and how we now begin to submit to that authority. Look what he goes on to say in verse 19. This is what we would call the charge to the church. If Jesus is who he claimed to be, he died on the cross, God has given him, God the Father, has given him all authority on both heaven and on earth. That, by the way, seals our salvation. Then here's what we do as a result of that. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity right there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Probably, in my opinion, one of the most important statements that we ever have Jesus uttering that's in the record of the Bible. Because there's so much power in that. And there is little doubt in what our charge is as believers and as a church today. If we're not going into the world, leading people to Christ, making disciples in that process, baptizing them, then we're not doing what God wants us to do. That's a sermon in and of itself. We're not going to go down that path, but there are a lot of people who get that confused. Their idea is, go therefore and make me happy. Go therefore and do what I want to do. Go therefore and feed me what I want to be fed in the Word, and not this idea of serving the Lord. Why? Because he has all authority. Now we're going to stop there, and as I say, we're going to come back and really focus on that statement that is made midway through verse 18, all authority. That is a true statement. It's an emphatic statement. There's no doubt. There's no room left for discussion on this. He either has all of the authority, or now we have to begin to unravel everything that we've just said about him. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins. He's the second part of the Trinity. He, in other words, is who he claimed to be. If we don't agree with that authority, then all of those other things now begin to become questionable. Now, that's easy. The hard part is this. Probably if we had a show of hands of how many people agree in his statement that he has all authority, probably every one of us would raise our hands. And that's easy. The real check comes in the small parts of your life. Are you giving him the authority? Are you giving him the responsibility? And what do we mean by that idea of responsibility? I'm laying down all ties or my own idea of responsibility for what God wants to do. If he wants me to go this direction, then I am not going to hold responsibility for that. He is responsible. I'm laying it all down. And I'm trusting in his authority to do exactly what he's promised, to do greater things than I can ever imagine, to resolve whatever that issue in his way, not my way. I give him responsibility to do that. And so the real test in whether or not you agree with this authority issue is what happens in the testimony of your life. Are you giving him that authority? Are you struggling sometimes? And we kind of tapped into this last week with the perspective. I think they're tied together. If you're not able to have that godly perspective that we learned from Job, then part of the problem is the authority. You don't really believe in his authority. And while that may play well for you in Sunday school and in church, tomorrow morning when you're driving in traffic, you now begin to fade on your commitment to the authority unless something bad begins to happen. Well, then you pull out that authority and, God, I claim your authority to take care of these things that I need taken care of right now. And as soon as you take care of those, then I'm going to take that responsibility back. I'll acknowledge your authority the next time, but for right now, don't mess with me. Let me keep going down my way until I need you again. That's unfortunately the ebb and flow of too many Christians walk with the Lord. So here's the question we're looking at this morning. Three things. How do we submit to God's authority? We can learn this from this passage. Number one is this. If we're going to submit to his authority, then we need to see things or through seeing your need. That's what should be on the screen. I think I got it right now. Through seeing your need. We need to understand, and I say this all the time, we're in desperate need of God's presence. We're in desperate need of his love. We're in desperate need of his guidance. We're in desperate need of his forgiveness. We're in desperate need of his help, of his grace, of his presence, and all of the things that you could list. If you are going to understand the authority of God and give him full responsibility, then the first thing is to understand how broken you are and how in much dire need you are of him and not of yourself and other alternative solutions. See, we talked about this last week with perspective. The world is quick with the enemy leading, coming in and giving us all kinds of quick solutions to our problems. And if you're like me, all of those have failed. And I'll be the first to admit, I decided to follow Christ because I tried some of the other solutions and they failed miserably. They never did what they promised. And so the only resolution to my issues was to finally surrender to him, and if we're using our theme this morning, give him full authority and responsibility for my life. And I stand before you as a pastor today because not because that became easy for me, but as I've struggled with that, I've learned that I would much rather be in the middle of giving him those things than me taking those things back. But if you follow me around tomorrow, I may grab one of those things back and try to take responsibility back. And then I break it, mess it up, and then I have to quickly give it back to him. It is a up and down, but to be honest with you, it's a daily wake up and say, Father, I know that I am in need of you today. And it's not just because I'm looking at some hard things to do today. I need you because I don't want to live in this broken world without being submissive to you. So if we're going to understand authority, we've got to understand our need. Now, again, here's sort of the cliff notes to this. I think most of us understand the brokenness of the world, and we look at our family and friends, no offense, family and friends, but we see their brokenness. Problem is sometimes we struggle with our own brokenness. And I think in the journey of learning to lay it down, and really at the point of salvation, if you've accepted Christ, this is what you did in that moment when you accepted Christ and his forgiveness, is you understood your brokenness and your inability to solve your sin issue. There is not enough good things you can do, not enough places that you can go to do good merit. There's not enough money that you can spend in order to be gained that forgiveness of your sins. It is absolutely only possible through Jesus. And so that's one right there that you encountered as you came to know Christ, if you're a believer, is you came to terms with the fact that I have no responsibility in getting rid of my sin. Only Jesus can do that. And so by admitting your sin, you're giving that responsibility to him to take that sin and to forgive it. And what does it say? To wash it away. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect now, but it means that God has responsibility for the forgiveness of your sin. So I don't walk around worrying, have I crossed that line again? Have I lost my salvation? Have I committed a sin that can't be forgiven? Have I messed up so badly that God can't reorient me? If I'm giving him full responsibility, then I'm resting easy in his authority and power. So he can never get away from that. In all of these things, he has that sovereignty, he has that power, and we understand that, and so we submit to that. We need to see our need. That's easy. Maybe. I mean, it gets complicated and it can get hard, but seeing our need in all of the areas of our life, not just the big ones that you have dilemmas or struggles or problems in right now, but even the things that you think might be pretty good, giving him all of those things and seeing his authority in all of those. Number two is this, moving through this. So we've said if we're going to submit to God's authority, then we need to see our need. Number two is this, we do this through seeing God's presence. And this is the handiwork part. Choosing, like we said last week, to have the perspective to see God sometimes even when it's hard to see him. It's understanding his presence. Choosing to see the evidence of his handiwork. Choosing to see his presence and even the struggles that we face. You know, we talked about Job. Well, today we're talking about the disciples. I mean, I think some of them, it's pretty obvious they had no clue of what was going to happen after this event. Now, they will go back to Jerusalem, it seems, to the upper room, and they go through some of the things. But nonetheless, there is an uncharted ground for them. That's part of why Jesus says what he says here, go make disciples. And the 11 do that, and some of them give their lives for that. But there was a moment of uncertainty, I think. And so it was their ability to see God's presence, even though in this moment they're about to see him physically, their representation of God on earth being Jesus, being physically ascending to the right hand of the Father. Just because he physically went away doesn't mean that he's not still present. And that's why God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's that part of God that continues to reside and work and convict and change us. And Jesus is still forgiving our sins, as we just illustrated a moment ago, at the point of salvation. But we have to understand his presence. We have to have the perspective to see his presence. Because the moment we get blinded by that and begin to forget about where God is, and by the way, there is no place he's not. Even in the midst of our sin, God is still present. We're just choosing to ignore him or not see him. Even in our desperation of uncertainty of what we're going to do, we feel blinded. We don't know what decision to make. God's not gone anywhere. He is still present. We're just choosing not to see or acknowledge His presence. From the time that you were born into this world, there's never been a moment that God's presence hasn't been here. And so when we begin to acknowledge that and realize that, now that begins to give us the ability to know I can give Him full authority. I can recognize that authority because I know He's with me. And what does He say at the very last of verse 20? In all of what He's just stated, and I think it goes beyond what we just started reading in verse 16. It's really the summary statement of all of His life, His physical life on this earth. He tells them to go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing, teaching people to observe all that He has taught them. And then what does He say? Last statement, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is. He's present. God is fully aware. There's not a single thing that you and I can go through that God is surprised by or shocked by or unprepared for. His presence is all around us. And if we're going to acknowledge His authority, then we must acknowledge that presence. And that's part of what we've talked about in previous weeks about having those times with Him. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, I believe. Spending time with the Lord and learning and gleaning truths and praying and reading His Word. All of those is because we acknowledge His presence and we see our need for being with Him. Number three is this. So, if we're going to submit to God's authority, then we need to see our need. We need to acknowledge God's presence. And then number three is this. We need to seek God's will, as I've said, through seeking God's will. This is, again, kind of tying into what we talked about last week. If God is sovereign and He's on His throne, we believe that. Then He has the authority over this world. We just learned that. Then we're going to give Him responsibility for every aspect and part, nook and cranny, every decision, every relationship that is part of our life. Then it's not just a one and done. Well, God, I'm going to give you that, and then I'm just going to go on back to my life. No, it's a daily, as Jesus tells us, take up our cross and follow after Him. That can mean a lot of things. But one of the things that sort of comes out in this today is that every day I'm going to give Him the authority. I'm going to choose, no matter what the cost, is to, if I'm giving Him the authority and the responsibility for my life, then I'm going to give Him obedience. I'm going to do what He tells me to do. And that's easier said than done, but it's a part of that authority. If God has authority, you believe, and you've given Him responsibility, don't be grabbing it back and saying that, well, you know, God, I'll acknowledge Your authority, but I'm not going to give You responsibility for this area. Because I don't want that to change. I don't want to risk that getting messed up. Do you realize what you're saying? What you're saying is God's really not the authority. And so again, we go back. The real test of this is what happens in your daily life when really nobody is noticing but you and God. The decisions and the confidence and the choices that you have and the certainty and the power that you experience through, as we've said, God's presence and the laying it down and the knowledge that as you lay whatever it is that you struggle with, you're laying it down and choosing not to pick that back up and walk away with it. That's what we do sometimes. We come to a place like this where maybe we become very aware of something that we're not giving Him. And so we'll do that before we leave this morning. But you're not. You're doing, yes, Lord, I'll give You this. But then symbolically, it's like we pick them back up and we put them back around our neck or in our pockets and we walk out of here with the same burden that we walked in with that problem. And then we have the audacity to say, well, God, I gave that to You and You didn't resolve it. I don't feel any different. And it may be because you've not really given Him that authority. You're not giving Him the full responsibility. You're laying it down for a moment, but then you're picking it back up. And that doesn't just happen in a service like that. That sometimes for some of us happens daily. It's a relationship. It's a job that you dislike or an uncertainty future in your job. And so at the moment of strain, you will lay it down. And then when you sense a peace about it, you'll grab it right back up and put it back in your pockets. Until the next time, there's some type of issue. You see what you're doing? I mean, it's almost like you're playing a game of snatch with God. Here, take it. Nope, I'm going to take it back. Take it, hold it for a little while, and then I'm going to take it back. And that summarizes, unfortunately, many of us in our spiritual walks when it comes to certain issues. And in a service like this, we feel good when we leave because we've got the right perspective. Yes, I agree with you. He's got the authority, and I'm laying it down. But tomorrow morning, our actions don't back up what we've done today. And then God has to be on his throne, looking down at us and saying, what don't you get? You understand, it seems. You know. But yet you still are resistant to being all in, laying it all down. And unfortunately, the problem with doing that is that we then don't experience the full joy, the fullness that God has for us in our walk with the Lord. We aren't experiencing the fullness of what God has. And that's not his problem. It's our problem and our inability to lay it all down. And so as I come to the end, I think as we look at a passage like this, it can be sort of a touch and go for many of us. We get it. We understand it. We move on. For others of us, we kind of delve into it for a little bit. We get that sort of quick fix this morning as I'm describing, and we lay it down. But then tomorrow morning, we may not physically come back into this auditorium and pick it back up, but symbolically, we're going to grab it and put it back in our pockets and carry that burden throughout the rest of our week until we come to another moment like this where we're going to lay it down. I mean, I think what we're describing here is people who aren't just looking for temporary change, they're looking for a permanent change. And that permanent change is when we give it all to him permanently, and as scary as that seems, leaving it in his hands and walking away. That's when we begin to experience what I think Jesus is telling us here, the fact that he has all authority, and we're giving him full responsibility for every aspect in our life. It does say, I mean, I believe the 11 probably had this down. I may be laying too much on this text, but when it says that some were doubtful, I think some of those, maybe of the dozen, 50, 60, whatever's gathered on that mountain watching this, we know it was more than the disciples. Even in the midst of that, some doubted. Now hold on to that. They had seen the risen Jesus rise from the dead. I mean, what more do they need to see? What more proof do they need to have that he is the Son of God, that he is capable of doing all of the things that he's promised to do? We stand here in 2023 looking at that and saying, how dare them? How could they not understand that? How could some still be doubtful? But some of us are doing the same thing. I mean, we've seen God at work. We've experienced him. We've seen his authority. We've seen his presence. But yet, some of us are still doubtful that God can take care of those issues that we're struggling with. Father, thank you this morning for your word. And I'm thankful for, really, I think, a difficult passage like this, looking at it from this angle. I mean, the surface of this passage is one of those that would be encouraging. But when we really begin to dissect, like we've done this morning, it's not just a challenge anymore. It really begins to, I think, get to the depths of some of our real hearts and our inability to lay certain things down. I mean, I know I have some things that I'm struggling with in the midst of me preaching this sermon about laying it down and giving you full authority and responsibility for those things. God, my plea this morning is that you would help me, help us, to be able to not count through our fears and uncertainties, but just simply have that trust and that belief that even though I don't understand it, I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to let you have all authority and I'm going to give you responsibility for the outcomes of this decision. Maybe it's that someone feels led to do a certain thing or to make a certain decision or decide not to do something. And maybe their fear is, what will happen if I do it that way or don't do it that way? God, I think when we are led by you, we acknowledge your authority, but we're giving you the responsibility, not for just fixing it, but for the results. And Father, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning by believers. Maybe some need to come to the altar. Maybe some can settle the decision in the pew. Whatever they need to do, I pray you would lead them by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I return to our friends who may be here who have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we come back to that authority, responsibility. I mean, essentially, a lost person is not giving God the authority that he is due. And then they're certainly not giving him responsibility for their life. They're holding that. And I guess my question for them is, how is that working out for you? You probably have suffered. You've probably seen the ups and downs of you taking responsibility for your own life, maybe taking responsibility for your spiritual being, and you have failed miserably, as all of us have. Maybe the whole purpose in you hearing this or being here this morning is to get you to the point now to where I can lead you in this prayer to accept Christ, and just not as authority, but giving him responsibility for your life. I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation, as we would call it. And I want you to pray this in your own words if you feel led to do this. Father, I am in desperate need of you. I'm tired of keeping the authority and the responsibility for my life. I want to give that over to you because you by far know better than I. So this morning I do that by accepting who Christ is, who he claimed to be. And I ask for forgiveness for my sins. And I accept him as not just my Savior, but my Lord. And I choose this day forward to follow him. Now, if you've prayed that prayer and you're here, then I'm going to invite you to come down and share that with me, and we'll get you connected with somebody who can share more in depth what that means. If you're at home watching or listening, then I want to encourage you, you can call the church this week sometime, or if you know somebody who's a believer, you call them right now and tell them that you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. The important thing for those new believers right now is to get follow-up and get connected to a body of believers. Now, God, we, as we've said today, we know you have the authority, not only over our lives, but we believe you have the authority over this service. And so we give you responsibility for our response to you today. And we leave the results up to you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand?